Are you ready to discover the freedom that God has for you? Hi, my name's Haley. Welcome to Redemption Unveiled, where we help you do what you're called to do so you can become who you're created to become. In Romans, it says that creation is longing for the children of God to be unveiled. Did you hear that? The earth is waiting for you to show up. Are you coming? So if you have kids, you've probably seen for yourself that every kid is so different. Or perhaps you have brothers and sisters and you're just like, wow, I could not be any more different than my siblings. And us having six kids, of course, we have seen that for ourselves. So we have four biological children, one adopted child, and one currently that we are fostering in the process of adopting. So we have had many different experiences with children. We have three boys, three girls, and interestingly enough, every other one is the opposite gender. Girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, boy. That is how our family is made up. And one of our kiddos is so uniquely persistent. It has been bizarre to watch. So we've had defiant children. And I think if you can, I don't know if you can relate, but there's a difference in my mind between being persistent and defiant, even though both can be disobedient. So we've had kids who, you know, you'd say, hey, go take that cup to the kitchen or get a diaper or stop hitting your brother, you know, whatever. And we've had that child yell at us, no, no, you know, in defiance to say, I'm not, you can't control me. You're not going to tell me what to do. But we have one of our kids who is so incredibly persistent that it is bizarre. So, and it's hilarious because we'll have other people watch him and they will say like the same thing. Like it almost makes you feel crazy. So you would say, you know, hey, you cannot eat that piece of candy right now. No. And he would respond, well, why can't, you know, I just want to eat the candy. And you're like, no, no to the candy. Okay, but I just was thinking, like, I'm just going to go ahead and eat the candy. And you're like, no. And, you know, of course, you're, like, doing the dishes or you're walking around like, no, do not eat the candy. Like, stop. And then you're just, like, living life. And then, you know, he'll say, hey, Mom, I'm going to eat the candy. And then it is, I mean, this has happened over and over in his life. It is bizarre because the tone that he's saying them, your brain is hearing, he's listening to me. Like, we're on the same page. So there's been all these times as his mom that I have been unaware of times like he's literally, he's not saying, no, I'm not going to do what you tell. He's literally like, hey, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go ahead and eat the candy. And it's like, it just is a very unique, because smile on his face, happy as can be, no worries, Mom. I hear you. We are on the same page. I'm eating the candy. That is, it's just like, and I don't know if you have any kids that are, I mean, make you feel crazy. You're like, I am so confused by the interaction we just had. And especially when you have other things going on, you have other kids, you have someone crying, you have someone, you know, you're making dinner, you're doing laundry, you're running around, whatever it is, there's other stuff going on. And I have recognized the determination in this human is unlike anyone I have ever met. It's so weird because, like I said, we've had defiant children. And I would classify this behavior as definitely defiant and disobedient, but it is without my awareness that it's even happening. Not now. I mean, obviously, I've picked up on this, but there are still many times when it's like, hey, Mom, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, wear the skates down the stairs, even though you told me not to, but it's awesome, so we'll see you later. And you're like, wait, how did we get here? I said no. I said no. You and I are totally committed to living the life that God has for us. And each day we wake up determined to do the things that God has called us to do so that we can become the person He created us to be. For us, obedience is the mission and transformation is the goal. We know that God has a plan for us and we seek it daily. But we are not only seekers, we're doers. We take action every single day to do the things that God has asked us to do. No matter the cost, we obey. But going where God has asked us to go is hard, and it brings a lot of problems into our lives. And it's easy to get confused in situations and distracted by life and overwhelmingly just exhausted by the never-ending problems that we face. But we understand the value of the difficulties that we encounter because our problems bring struggle and our struggles reveal the lies that we believe. But it's not just the lies found in the world, but even more so, the lies that we have hidden within ourselves that are our burden to resolve because we are protectors of truth. So struggle by struggle, we go in prepared. We know the team of people God has given us to get the victory each time, and we lean heavily on them to remind us of the truths about God, our people, and ourselves. We don't get intimidated by these many problems we face because we know it is these very challenges that give us the transformation we seek. So we persevere, one by one, struggle by struggle. We hold tight to the truths that never change. And day by day, we heal. We do this for one reason, and one reason only. We are obsessed with becoming the person God created us to be. We don't give up until redemption has been unveiled, because we refuse to end our lives in regret. We know that the earth is waiting for God's children to show up, and we will give it all we have to do so. Let's do this. Before chalk paint, there was spray paint. There was brown paint. Now, I have told you many times that Carter and I got married at 19. We lived in the Love Shack, a house that my parents owned, and we just did the newlywed thing. We quickly decorated our home after we got married. And I had a month, I think, before I started work full time. And so I kind of hurried and rushed and decorated our house. And I just wanted to feel settled. You know, I'm sure you can imagine that feeling. And moving into our new home, we were newly married. I was like, oh, I want our house to be so cute. And I quickly got it decorated and it was great. However, as it happens, over a year or two went by and I got tired of some of the decorations in our house. And yet we weren't really in a financial place that I could just do a whole remodel. And so I stumbled upon the realization that I could spray paint and paint the things we had, and I could really glam up the space. So I had many things, and this was, you know, mid-2000s, and whether it was in style or not, I believed it was the dark brown accents were just a wonderful thing. And we had an entertainment center that had been left. It was a Walmart, you know, shelf basically where it had like a place for your TV and then shelves on the side and drawers on the bottom. And it was like wood, but not real wood. It was like particle wood. And then on the outside, it had like the design of wood on it. So it wasn't a high quality piece. And then I had several other things that I had gotten in my head that I wanted to just give our little love shack a makeover. And yet even though the entertainment center was you know, probably cheaply made, it was kind of heavy, especially on one side. And so I knew that I probably needed to get it outside to paint it. And so I had asked Carter, like, hey, you know, could you help me get this outside before you leave for school? He was in school full time at that time, and then he would go to work every day. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you, there are a few downsides to get married at 19, because you probably haven't put this together, but you end up married to a 19-year-old boy and a 20-year-old boy and a 21-year-old boy. And it's like, you know, turns out even a great guy that you married at marry at that age is still, you know, a kid and a not mature like person who wants to do some of these things that now wouldn't be a big deal. And it wasn't necessarily a big deal. He just kept not doing it. And I was like, hey, I want to, like, I'm going to do these projects this week. What day could you help me? Well, we just never got it coordinated. And I woke up one day completely determined. Like, you know, have you ever woke up with just the feel in the air that today I'm going to do a project? I am going to do a project that's going to change the course of my life today. Because I love being creative. The older I get, the more I realize, like, I get a lot of joy from creativity, even if it's, you know, redecorating something, organizing something, painting something, cleaning out a closet. I mean, don't get me wrong, my closet needs to be cleaned out right now. But once you get into it, it's like, oh, this new life, this is the new me. This is who I am. This is what I do. I'm just an organized person and live in an amazing home because I just did this new project. I don't know. I think it's fun. Well, I woke up that day and I was like, you know what? Carter's going to be gone all day and I have the whole day ahead of me to make this happen. And I'm just going to make it happen. So I got a plan. We had a, I don't know, I guess I thought that like a little, we had like a quart of brown paint. And I don't remember everything I was going to paint that day. I think I had some spray paint too. I had a wooden round table that I was going to spray paint dark brown. I was going to paint our entertainment center dark brown. Like I said, this is before chalk paint. So, I mean, we're literally just talking dark brown paint. So, you know, after a few years went by, I might have regretted some of my dark brown paint passions, but that's for another day. And so I went to Lowe's and I decided I was going to do this project right. Okay. I can tend to be a person who is like, oh, it's fine. So I decided I was going to prime this entertainment center, this Walmart wood painted entertainment center. I was going to prime it before I painted it, because that's a good quality work right there. So I got primer and I bought like a quart of brown paint, because I was like, well, that'll be plenty for just this entertainment center. I think, I don't know if I did this all on the same day, but I definitely had some brown spray paint. I kept taking stuff outside and I just spray paint it. And then, I was really excited about this. And the whole goal was to get this done before Carter got home from the end of his workday. So I got the stuff at Lowe's and I get started, because I know I need to prime this so it has enough time to dry a little bit before I paint it. And so I obviously couldn't carry the thing outside by myself, and Carter hadn't done it. So I decided, well, I'll just slide some black trash bags like under it, you know, lift one side, slide it under, lift the other side, slide it under. And I'm like, easy peasy, you know, we don't need this outside. It's going to be great. So I start to prime the entertainment center. And this is also before we had Like, I don't think we had, like, a complete flat screen at that point. Like, we still had, like, a TV we gotten from, I think, Carter's house, where it was, like, still kind of, you know, had the big hump on the back. I'm, like, aging myself right now. So, you know, it was, like, a bigger, like, a thicker entertainment center. It's not just a table. Not like now, you know. And so I primed it, and I let it dry. I start to paint it. I'm moving. I'm grooving. I'm spray painting. I'm going in. I'm going out. I'm literally so proud of myself. And what happens is, as I'm painting this brown, and of course it needs a couple coats because remember, I'm doing this job right. I realize, who knew a quart of paint wasn't going to be enough. So what happened is I am painting and I have a realization that I'm going to run out of paint, okay? If I wanted to coat this bad boy, a quart of paint is not enough to paint good quality home entertainment center, okay? So I'm like, well, great. And I got one good coat on. I'm like, well, I should stop now and run back into Lowe's and get what I need while it's drying. So, in a bit of a hurry, okay, so I grab this brown can of paint. I'm doing this in my living room, okay, and I need to go throw on, you know, some shoes or clothes. I need to go into my bedroom, and I grab the brown can of paint, and I had the lid on it, and I'm holding it at the top, like, all of my fingers holding it at the top. Well, what you need to know about Haley is Haley swings her arms when she walks, I guess, even when she's holding paint. And so what happened is I am walking from our living room to our bedroom. I turn the corner. I'm walking in. Remember, I'm moving. I'm grooving. I'm painting. I am revitalizing my home. I'm doing it. I'm doing the thing Carter doesn't know. It's a secret. It's a surprise. And he's going to be so excited. And I'm ready. And I've got to move fast, because at this point, the day is clicking away. If I want all this to be dried and put back together before he walks in to be so excited and shocked, then I need to move. I've got to go. Let's go. So I'm walking in and I'm holding the paint and I'm swinging my arms. And to my surprise, I lose grip on the paint, on the quart of dark brown paint that is low, but not empty. Okay, it is low, but it is not empty. And I swing my arm and that can of paint, I mean, it just flies out of my hand. It hits the wall on the other side of the room and opens. And I am just flabbergasted, because there's more paint than you might have expected left in the can. And the can, because also I wasn't extremely thorough on closing the can, the lid has popped off, and I now have dark brown paint from the top of my closet splattered to the floor, and the can of paint is on the ground open, spilling dark brown paint on the carpet. So, I'm shocked. I mean, I don't know. How did that happen? I will say one thing I have learned over the last 20 years of being married-ish. I haven't been married 20 years. I don't know how long I've been married, but I have learned I actually have a problem with dropping things. So, grip strength is not one of my strengths. And I just instantly am like, oh, I gotta get this paint wiped up. Like, so, funny story, when you wipe dark brown paint, this was back when, like, kind of gold was, like, goldy tan was popular for paint colors, yellowy, which our bedroom was kind of a goldy, greeny, yellowy, which sounds not beautiful right now, I'm not gonna lie. So my first thing is like, I've got to get this wiped. Well, turns out when you take brown paint and you wipe it, what happens? It just smears brown paint. So then I have a splatter, I mean, all like across one whole door to the next one. Like we had, they weren't bifolds, but they were like two sliding doors. Okay. And I do one wipe and then I realize like, well, that looks worse. So I'm going to stop wiping. And then I start like picking things up. Like then I start like taking paper towels to the ground. And then I'm thinking like, I need to get it. You know, I didn't have a lot of the perfect cleaning supplies. And then I just start like getting it. I start getting water on it and wet and I try scrubbing it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, which again, then you have like you try to wipe, but then like when I added water, it would just dilute the brown. So it just like made the stain bigger on the carpet. So I'm like trying to wipe, trying to clean. And then I finally kind of get to the end of what I think I can do with the cleaning stuff I have. So then I switch gears at that point because this is not our home. We hadn't bought this home. This is my parents' home, which, you know, might be better than strangers being your landlord. But this is, I'm disappointed this is how this is went, okay? I'm honestly shocked. Didn't see it coming at all. I was very focused, very much focused on the prize of revitalizing the entertainment center. So then I get in my car, I drive, I think I actually ended up at Walmart, and I'm like talking to the paint people. I'm, you know, I got more of the paint I needed, but I'm also like, what can I do to cover, you know, to pick up paint? And I feel like his guidance was, well, don't put water on it. Or maybe I Googled it. Like, don't put water on the paint. Like, suck as much as you can up. And I thought, well, that was a little too late. I already doused it with tons of water. And like, the more, like, I got home, I got what I could. And I got home. And, I mean, I just kept, like, I did, like, cleaner, more water, cleaner, more water. Because I did feel like it was kind of diluting it, the water, even though it was also spreading it. So I kind of ended up, our carpet was like a short, like, tan with some other colors threaded through it. It kind of ended up just looking like a light pink area. So not like super noticeable. Like you wouldn't walk in and look at the carpet and be like, oh, like right. It wasn't dark brown. But if you looked, you could see it. Now the closet doors were a different story. There was no pretending that wasn't there. It was a full-blown spatter, probably, you know, 6 to 7 feet high. I don't know how high ceilings are. It was taller than me with a strong wipe across the midsection. So it was there. Well, unfortunately for me, at this point, time had gotten away. Time had gotten away from me. And I think my memory says that I was able to get the last, you know, thing, the last coat painted on the entertainment center, but it wasn't able to dry before Carter got home. And it, like, he ended up coming home and the house was a wreck. Like, I had pulled it all apart because I was painting different things. It's kind of my personality. Like, once I get into a project, I just, like, I'm all in. So there's like random decorations like in the yard. Things are wet. I have paint stuff out. The bedroom has been destroyed in the project. And he, like, my plan for the grand reveal went a different direction than expected. And as we started picking up, unfortunately, because I didn't take the entertainment center outside and I tried my, you know, I did the trash bags underneath, I wasn't really thinking about the splattering of the roller. And I had just set the TV, which was kind of heavy. Like I said, we didn't have flat screens back then. So the backsides are so heavy on those old TVs. So I just like took it off the entertainment center, kind of set it to the side. Well, it had white primer splats kind of all over it too. I hadn't noticed that it was splattering, and there was just there was just some disappointment, not only on my part, but my husband's part. And I'll never forget, like, this is such a good picture of our marriage. Like, we were in, because he's not like an angry type person, okay? He's not, but he was frustrated by this this experience. And I'll never forget, like, we, you know, we worked that evening on picking stuff up and stuff, but I'll never forget lying in bed that night. And and like, I could tell he was just frustrated. I'm like, I feel like you're mad at me. I wasn't trying, you know. And he's like, well, he's like, Haley, I came home. The house is destroyed. There's brown paint all over our bedroom. And our TV has white paint all over it. And he's like, I'm not mad. He's like, I'm just frustrated. And I'm like, I didn't mean to. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't want to throw the paint across the bedroom. It just happened. And I didn't know the white was splattering. And I was trying to get it all done. And, you know, I had asked you to move the stuff outside. And, you know, for a while. And you hadn't done it. So, I mean, he's like, I know you didn't mean to. I'm just frustrated. And I just will never forget, like, being, like, I don't, it wasn't, like, a big fight or anything. Like, I could see where he was coming from. But, like, from my perspective, I was so excited about this big grand reveal that I had worked on all day. And I was also very disappointed with how the day took a turn. And I just remember thinking, like, I didn't really see this coming. Like, it just unfolded differently than I expected. Now, for Redemption Unveiled, we have one goal, and that is for us to do what God has called us to do so we can become who He created us to become. And one of the things I wanted to do today is I wanted to go back to kind of the beginning of what we need to do in order to do this. And I just really want to call forth those who are determined. You know, as I told you at the beginning of this podcast, our child who is absolutely persistent, like absolutely unwaveringly focused on what he is determined to do, bizarrely so. And just as in this time of my marriage, when I was absolutely determined to revitalize the Love Shack and to shock and awe my husband, which I will say I did do it, just different than I expected. Going back to these moments of pure determination, my goal is to really equip you and prepare you for what this life looks like and what it's going to take. And the very first thing that you have to do is be determined. The life that God has for you is not going to come and present itself at your doorstep. It is not going to hunt you down every day. Now, God will. God will offer you opportunity after opportunity, invitation after invitation. However, it's still always an invitation. He will not force His will on you. He will not force His purpose on you. He will not make you do what He created you to do. He will simply invite you to do it. And to be honest with you, there are so many reasons that we miss it, that we miss our purpose. We miss our transformation. There's so many things. And honestly, I think oftentimes it's because we're not determined enough. And don't get me wrong, it is not us that does it. 100%. The power of the transformation, of the healing, of the process, it's all God. However, we have to choose it. We have to believe in it. We have to be willing to continue to put ourselves out there and to seek it. We have to be seekers. Now, One of the things that I have become obsessed with is the parable of the sower. And you might remember this story. It's actually found in three different locations in the Bible. I believe it's Matthew, Mark, and John. They're in different chapters in each one. And this last year, like, that's been one of my most obsessed stories. Just I've read them over and over. The reason why is because I have become so obsessed with understanding, how do we get the harvest that God has for us? How do we become the people He created us to be? How do we enter into the kingdom He created? How do we live this life with Him? And it is, I believe that this story is there's a lot of lessons in it. I'm sure I don't even understand them, but I believe there is such wisdom in this story to the people who are saying, I am determined to live the life God has for me. How do I not miss it? That, to me, this story is, how do I not miss it? And I'm not going to read it all today because it's three different versions. I highly recommend you read it. It's really great. I recommend you read all three. However, the parable of the sower is talking about the seed that God plants and where the harvest comes. Now, if you've been in the church community for very long, then you've probably heard this story. So it's about a farmer going out, and seed ends up falling in areas that are not great soil. And the parable goes on to explain what each of these soils mean and what happens along the way. So he talks about how he drops some seed along the path, and he says how the birds snatch it up. And then he talks about how it falls on rocky soil, some of the seed, and how it comes up quick, but it ends up getting scorched by the sun. And then it talks about how some falls on thorny soil and how it gets choked out. Then it finally talks about how some of the seed falls on good soil, which produces a 30, 60, or 100-fold harvest of the seed that was planted. And I can remember when I was a kid, maybe junior high, high school, I don't know, being told that some people read this story and get confused that, like, each of the different types of soil produce 30, and then 160, and then 100 if it's good soil. And I remember this person, have no idea who it was, teaching, like, that's not what it says. It says all three of the bad soils produce zero harvest, but yet the good soil produces 30, 60, or 100-fold. Now, I'm talking about this today because for me, this has kind of been a life lesson that I've been diving into for the past year. Mostly of saying, okay, how do we get a harvest from the things that God tells us, from what God teaches us, from what He tells us to do? And I went back and looked at all three of these, and I've really read them a lot this year and looked at what keeps us from the harvest. And the first one, when the seed falls along the path, it's talking about people who hear God's word, but they don't understand it. And it ends up getting taken from them. So that tells me that if I want to be a good soil, then I have to have understanding. I have to have wisdom. The second, the rocky soil, talks about how the seed sprouts quick, but there's no roots, so it ends up falling away. Like, there's no foundation to hold the seed. And so it really talks about how that is when someone receives what God has said, receives the word, but when trouble comes, when persecution comes, when trials, problems come, it falls away because there's no root sustaining the word that God spoke. And the last one is thorns, and that when the seed or God's word falls on the thorny soil, it's talking about how it gets choked out. And in that case, it's talking about people who become overtaken with the worries of life or also specifically means or is mentions the love of money. So when I look at that, I look at distractions. People who hear what God has said, but they get distracted. So when I'm doing kind of the reverse thought, oh, okay, so what do I need to be good soil? I need to have some level of wisdom and understanding. I need to have perseverance so that when the trouble comes, because you and I both know it's not if, it's when trouble comes. You and I probably have some trouble today. If we don't have trouble today, we'll get some tomorrow. It's not if. It is a constant part of life. And lastly, it's focus. If you and I want a harvest, like any harvest, we have to be understanding. We have to have some wisdom of God, of how his kingdom works. We have to understand how God works on some level. Like you can start small, but there's got to be some level of understanding. And then we have to be able to persevere over time with the words that God has given us. And lastly, we have to stay focused. There are endless, endless distractions on this earth, like unlimited. You and I both know this. And there always have been. Before social media, before TV, there's always been distractions. Back when Jesus was teaching this, he was aware of people's distractions and desires that lead them away from the harvest he has for them. So when we are talking about the Redemption Unveiled process, when we're talking about the transformation process, I want to encourage you that the step, the very first step is we have to be determined to stay focused, to continue to learn, to persevere. We have to be determined to do it. And, you know, I told you the very silly story, but was meaningful to me at the time, of me throwing a can of paint across the room to paint my entertainment center. And I've told you about my child who's just so determined, so obsessively persistent. And there's probably a lot of lessons to learn in these stories. However, I want to encourage you to be the persistent person in the story. I want to encourage you not to settle. You have to be determined. There will be an endless amount of reasons that today is never the right day to paint the Walmart Entertainment Center. There will be a mess. There will be, it's a hassle. You know, it's hard to move all this stuff around. You've got to go into the store. You know, your husband might get mad because you completely trashed the house. You know, whatever it is. But it's like, we have to become people that actually do these things. So God has told you things in your life. He's told you things about who you are. He's told you things about the purpose he has for you. He's told you things about what he wants you to do. He's told you things about his character. He's told you things about his kingdom, his nature, his hopes and dreams he has for you that he put inside of you when you were created. He's given you some of these things. And it is so easy to wake up and forget. It's so easy to say, well, we didn't get the entertainment center moved outside. I'm not going to do it today. Well, you know, I don't want to have to go into the store. Well, it's going to be hard. Well, what if it is a mess? What if it doesn't work out? What if I, you know, throw a can of paint across the bedroom? I mean, anything can happen. But we have to be a people. You and I have to learn to wake up determined. Does that mean every single day is the grandest adventure of our life? Probably not. You know, there is mundane, but I want to encourage you because that's part of the lesson here. Like, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to give up because it's hard. It's easy to give up because we're confused and we don't understand. And that is that determination piece. Like, if you still have a longing that you feel like you are missing something, then you need to keep pushing forward. You have to keep putting the pieces in place. It's not like you wake up and everything is perfect in your life and you have all the understanding and all of the things that God's called you to do are just easy to do. No, 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 no. That's not the life we will ever live. That's not the life we're called to. the trial piece, the persevering piece, the cost of the focus that it takes is part of the journey. God is looking down on this earth looking for people who are determined to live the life that he has for them. And there will be a cost, because I'm telling you that when we look at these three soils, we see confusion taking away your harvest. We see exhaustion, the lack of perseverance taking away your harvest. And then we see distraction or desires taking away your harvest. The distraction from what God has for you. We see desires of, oh, I could go over here for, you know, get more money, or fear of losing money, or fear of what could happen if we obey God. So there's all these things that are really hard. And so if you want to step fully in to what God has for you, we have to be determined. Okay, as we wrap this up today, I just want to be a voice that continues to remind you to stay focused, to keep seeking that understanding. Don't get distracted and don't give up. Okay? Do not give up on the things that God has told you, that God has promised you, that he's spoken over you, the things he's asked you to do. We can do this. Like, we can do this. We are called to stay focused, to be determined, and to trust him. To trust him. That's ultimately what it's about, that he is our Father and we trust him. We are not going to give up. We are not going to get distracted. We are going to stay focused, wake up every single day. We're going to do it. Now, I just want to encourage you, if you have anyone that you feel like you need to share this with that just needs encouragement at this time to just continue to hope, to continue to put themselves out there, to continue to stay focused on the path that they started on, but you know that they're discouraged, I just want you to think about sending this to them. And I just really appreciate you being here and just both of us just seeing where God takes this and what ends up unfolding. Now, for today's random tip of the day, I think it goes without saying. You know what? I'm going to give you like several. First of all, I actually do not recommend painting and spray painting all of your decorations dark brown. Okay. I also do not recommend roller painting any piece of furniture in your house with black trash bags underneath barely as you sprinkle paint all over your electronics. I would not recommend that. And lastly, but honestly, I'd say most important, I would not recommend holding paint by the top with a lid that's not closed and throwing it across your bedroom. Okay? I want it. I mean, you do you. I'm trying to give you the heads up for experience. Do not throw a can of paint across your bedroom. Okay? Great tips. Gosh, I am just giving you guys a fountain of wisdom, and you are welcome. So I will see you back here next week. I hope you have a good one. Bye. Well, this was fun, but don't forget, it's not just your opportunity to show up on this earth, but your responsibility. Let's do this.